Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is a beginner's guide to debugging CAKE's intercommunication problem. Today's presenters are Wayne Windsor, Tom LaRocco, and Sue DeMarez. Wayne, Tom, and Sue are members of the Level 2 support team for CAKE's transaction server. They specialize in the area of technical support for that product's communications. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Wayne.
If we could move to slide 2. For the agenda today, we'll start with a short introduction about CICS intercommunication, and then we'll talk specifically about how to tie tasks together between regions when they're using the various communication methods that CICS uses. Finally, we'll look at what happens if you have multiple sessions or multiple regions involved in a transaction, and then Sue will summarize. Slide 3. CICS needs to communicate among the regions to do work. It uses three methods to do this. APPC requires a VTAM network. MRO uses CICS's own DFHIRP program to communicate directly between regions in the same sysplex. And IPIC requires a TCP/IP network. Slide 4. All three versions use parallel sessions. By having parallel sessions defined between CICS regions, many tasks can be processed at the same time. When a problem happens that involves more than one region, this can make it difficult to correlate the symptoms in one region with the source of a problem in another. If a task has a problem, you need to identify which other region is involved and the specific task on that region that matches it. This presentation will show how to identify those related tasks in separate regions to assist in problem diagnosis. Slide 5. By following a series of small steps, we can methodically track down the source of a problem. First, you need to identify a task that has a problem that is using a session to communicate with another region. Second, you need to identify the data that correlates the task and session in one region with the task and session in the other region. Third, you need to identify the connected region to make sure you're looking at the right partner that is involved with the situation. Fourth, once you know the other region and correlation data, you can then go to that other region and find its correlation data. Fifth, you can then identify the task that is connected to that session that's in trouble on the other side. And once you have the task on the partner region, you can then diagnose what's going on with it. Slide 6. There are many kinds of problems involving related CICS regions, but the kind that we see most often here at Level 2 and the kind of problem that will allow us to show the relationship the best is when a task is in a wait. For the purposes of this discussion, we simply used the C-Route transaction to connect to a remote region and then started a conversational transaction, CEMT, to hold those sessions. So while there's not actually a problem in our examples, it does allow us to see the weights and the information needed to look at them. Each communication method has its own wait name for the information when it's waiting to come across that session from another region. In APPC, it's known as a ZCI await wait. MRO has an IR link wait, and IPIC is known as ISC underscore receive. Slide 7. You can sometimes get information in real time, for example, with the CEMT task, the very task that we use to create the weights that we're looking at in our examples in a few minutes. We will see more about the details of the information that can be looked at in each method of communication, but for now just notice that if you inquire on a CEMT task, you can see the task number, the TRAN ID, the facility or term ID, that if one is associated with it, and then the HTY, or hold type field, shows the kind of weight that that task is in. Slide 8. If you can't figure out in real time what's going on because of time constraints or whatever, or you need to confirm your diagnosis or to show what's going on to IBM, you may not need to capture dumps of the regions involved and diagnose the problem from there. If a task is in one of the three types of communication weight, then that task is not likely the source of the problem. It's waiting on the partner. So you need to make sure that you also get a dump of the region that that task is waiting for. You may know the design of the application program and how it's defined among the CICS regions to know which to dump. Or you may have a monitor of some kind that provides those details. Or you may use the EMT like we're going to be showing today. Whatever way you gather the information, you want to give yourself the best chance you can of gathering the dumps of all of the regions that could be involved with the transaction having the problem. So try to identify all of the regions in trouble and dump those. One thing to note, make sure that the dumps are taken at the same time. Many problems are time dependent, and you don't want to be looking at a dump from one region that was taken at one time and a dump from another region that was taken earlier or later, thinking that you're looking at related tasks for a related problem, only to find out that it was something that happened much earlier or later. Slide 9. We use IPCS to format CICS dumps, and we use various domain names to look at information in the CICS dump. But there's a small set that will help us to look at the key data we need to correlate the information between those tasks. And they're highlighted in red here. Some of the domains that help us with the task information are the dispatcher, which shows the wait states of tasks, the kernel, which provides additional information including the TCA address and the TRAN ID. And then other domains help more with the communication information, such as the TCP domain for terminal control and the IS for intersystem. Slide 10. The control blocks in the communication area that we look at are in the TCP section for the TCT or terminal control table. The TCSE is the system entry that represents the other region. The TCME, the mode entry, which is only used by APPC, is used to organize LU62 conversations. And the TCTTE, terminal entry, represents terminals and parallel sessions. In the IS domain for IPIC, the ISCB, the connection block, is equivalent to the TCTSE, and the ISSB, the session block, is equivalent to the TCTTE. Note that the offsets that we used in this pitch all refer to CICS Transaction Server version 4, release 1. You may want to refer to a data areas or supplementary data areas manual to verify the offsets in whatever release you may be using. Slide 11. We'll now look at some of the specifics about how to correlate tasks across an APPC session. Slide 12, please. APPC is also known as LU62, LUC, or ISC, Inter-System Communication. You'll find these terms interchangeable in the CICS manuals, APARs, problem records, etc. Before looking at the details of APPC sessions, let me first mention about how they are organized. APPC organizes sessions within mode groups. The SNOF Service Manager mode group is always labeled SNA SVCMG and always has two sessions, which provides a contention winner for each side for doing administrative requests. The user mode group is defined by the sessions definition. That's where you can name the mode group whatever it is you would like to. And you can also provide, in the max option, the total number of sessions that are to be supported and how many of those sessions you would like to have as contention winners for the local side. In OU62 architecture, either side may begin a request across either kind of session, but the contention winner can start work any time that it wants to, and the contention loser must ask for permission to do so. So the tasks are usually started on the contention winning side, but in a very busy system, there may be some overflow from the contention winner over into the contention losers to initiate work. Slide 13. We can look at some of the information in real time with the CEMT transaction. You can look at the status of the connection itself with the CEMT inquire connection. This has limited use, however, because only one session in either the SNASCCMG or the user mode groups, only one has to be currently in service inquired for the connection to show that. So we can get more information by using the CEMT inquire mode. It gives us a better overview of the health of each mode group. You can see here that the user mode group has the default name of blank. And that's a valid characters that CICS uses. It's known by VTAM. And so don't let that throw you. The name of the mode group is blank, but you can name it anything you want. The three fields that are of interest to us here, the first one is the max, or maximum number of sessions that can be supported by the local region. That was what was defined in the max parameter. AVA is the available number of sessions agreed upon with the other side through the CNOS, or change number of sessions, process. And you can see the outcome of that negotiation between the two sides in the CICS log by looking at the DFH ZC 4900 and DFH ZC 4901 message there. The ACT, or active number of sessions, are the sessions that are bound and ready to use between the two partners. The way to look at individual sessions is to inquire on the net name visible in the CEMT inquire con. Slide 14. When you do that, you see a list of sessions out for the net name. And it gives a more detailed view of the individual sessions. You can see the TRAN ID or task numbers that are running on them. You can see how many of them might be tied up in waits. In this case, we happen to see that task number 285 is running on session-AAL. This is the same task that we saw in the ZCI08 on page 7 of the presentation. Slide 15. And then either because you want to confirm that the dumps show what the CEMT or other monitor did, or because you're starting with the dump, when you get to the dump, you're going to want to look to see which tasks are in the wait. To do so, we would start in the DS domain and look at the task summary to look for those in the ZCI08. There isn't enough room on this slide to show all the information that we would see in a DS and a dispatcher summary. The list of tasks can be quite long, and the summary is 132 characters wide. This output may not fit on some screens, for instance, an 80-character wide screen. So you might have to move right and left to see all of the data there. And 132 character wide doesn't show very well here. So I simply listed one task as it would appear and highlighted the information that we're interested in just to show the position on the line. And then below that, I've expanded the size so that we can see the areas of interest. You can tell that the ZCI08 is for an APPC session because the resource name is Program DFH-ZARR1. This is the CICS APPC processing module that puts the task into await when it's waiting for data to come from an OE62 session. The task number is the last five digits before the C in the Transaction Manager transaction token. The C is appended simply because this is a packed decimal field. Slide 16. We can then go to the kernel domain and look in the kernel summary, the KE summary, and search for that task number to get the TCA address and the TRAN ID. Again, I've shown in smaller print what the full line looks like with larger print to make it easier to read the information we're interested in. So we can pick up the TCA address here and the TRAN ID that are in that wait. Slide 17. We now go to the TCP domain to find the session with that TCA address and task number at offsets hex 10 and 14. In this case, we happen to find it in the session -AAL. Note that all of the APPC sessions in CICS begin with a dash. And notice that the name of the fields are at the bottom of the page in this presentation. When you're looking at a different release of CICS, you may want to check the offsets in the control block at that release. We've tried to provide the names of all of the fields throughout this presentation. Slide 18. Once you've identified the session, you can then find the LUC extension formatted just below where that session's TCTTE is. The LUC extension contains the session instance identifier correlation data. It has a length for the first byte, followed by the session instance identifier information itself. You can see that it's not anything real legible. This is an LU62 architected type of information because CICS may be communicating with other programs than CICS itself. Slide 19, please. Now, we need to make sure that we're going to go to the correct region to continue the diagnosis. To do this, we need to confirm the other region's node name. You can look at the TCTSE that the session belongs to, or a closer control block to jump to is the TCTE NIB, the NIB descriptor. And it has the remote region's Apple ID or net name in the TCTE NNAM field. In this case, that's WW26AOR1. Slide 20. We're now ready to look at the related regions dump. We work our way backward in this case. We start with the TCP domain and looking for the session instance identifier in the TCTE NIB. Note that the offset has not changed for many releases. So the correlator is at the same offset in all currently supported CICS releases. Since we're looking at a printout of hex information, the spaces can stay a part of the search string, which makes it a little faster in finding what you're looking for. Slide 21. So once you have the correlation data in the other region's dump, you can then back up to the owning TCTTE to find the TCA address and task number at offsets hex 10 and 14. You can then use that information to go to the other domains in the dump to see what's going on or not going on in the case of a wait for that task. We'll now turn the time over to Tom Morocco to talk about how to follow these same steps for a task waiting across an MRO session.
Thank you, Wayne. We need to move to slide 23. BTAM and SNA network facilities are not required for MRO. The support within CICS that enables region-to-region communication is called inter-region communication, or IRC. MRO only uses user-defined send and receive sessions. The send and receive MRO only uses user-defined send and receive sessions. The send-receive count field is used to manage the number of send-receive sessions. The received count parameter determines the number of MRO sessions that usually receive before sending. MRO received sessions can only receive before sending. The received count in the local system should equal the send count in the remote system. Just like the receive count, the send count parameter determines the number of sessions that usually send before receiving. In MRO, send sessions must send before they can receive. The send count in the sending system should equal the receive count in the receiving system. The receive prefix parameter is a one or two character prefix that CICS uses as the first one or two characters of the receive session names. For MRO sessions, if you do not specify your own receive prefix, CICS enforces the default prefix of the less than symbol, which is used in conjunction with the receive count to generate receive session names. The send prefix, similarly, if you do not specify your own send prefix, CICS enforces the default prefix, the greater than symbol, which is used in conjunction with the send count to generate send session names. Slide 24. At this point, we know we have a waiting task. So in real time, we can use the CEMT inquire task to display a list of tasks. In this case, as viewed from the AOR2 region. We locate the one that has a H type or a hold type of IR link. As mentioned earlier by Wayne, an IR link wait indicates that this task is waiting across an MRO link. We could see the task number here is 267, and the transaction is CEMT. Slide 25. To identify additional correlation data, we place the cursor anywhere in the task lines that we saw in the previous slide and press Enter for the details we see on this slide. In MRO, the H value field identifies the resource name. The H value field has two parts, connection and session. Slide 26. So you can determine from the CEM screen the connection ID of the other CICS region and which session is involved in the wait. We see in the display an H value that would be interpreted as a connection of W6T1 in a terminal session of less than AAU. Slide 27. Continuing to use the CEMT inquire, we issue a CEM inquire on that connection, W6T1. An example of the output is shown on this slide. This returns a list about the status of the connection. We see that it also has a connection to another CICS region with a net name of WW26TOR1. This connection is in service and acquired. You can confirm information inquiring on the sessions using the net name option to determine if there is more than one session tied up with the tasks. We see the output of the CEMT inquire net name on this slide. We see the REM field, which shows the connection entry that links to the TOR, to the remote region. Slide 28. Again, to identify additional correlation data, we move the cursor anywhere in the session lines that we saw in the previous slide. We press Enter for the details we see here on this slide. And the important field here is identified in red, CID field. And this shows the partner LU session of a greater than AAA. At this point, We know we have two regions involved in this IR link weight. We know the terminal partners, the connection name, and the region names. This was all done in real time. You should be able to use the CEM key commands on the other region to look at that session and inquire on the tasks running there. Slide 29. If we were working with dumps, we would start with the AOR2 region and using the Verbex DFH PD exits in IPCS, we would start at the dispatcher domain as shown here. Looking down the list, we would find one with a resource type of IR link. That same entry will show the resource name and the transaction token. Resource name shows the connection again of W6T1 in the terminal of less than AAU. The transaction token field is in packed decimal format, shows the transaction of 267. Slide 30. We now go to the KE or kernel domain, and in the KE task summary, we can do a find for that transaction number of 267 to obtain the transaction ID we see here of CEMT and the TCA address. Slide 31. Still in AOR2, in the AOR2 region, proceeding to the TCP domain, we can search for the TCA address or the task number, and we find these in the TCT terminal entry at displacement of hex 10 and the other at hex 14, respectively. Slide 32. We then page down to see the associated NIB descriptor for that same terminal, less than AAU. At a displacement of hex 44 of this NIB extension, we see the TCTE PSQS area. This contains the primary terminal name and the secondary terminal name. Each field is preceded with a one-byte count. The local terminal is 4 bytes in length, and the remote terminal is 8 bytes in length. We can see the session less than AAU in region AOR2 can now be correlated to session greater than AAA in the TOR1 region. Partner's net name does not appear in this NIB. So we need to get that from the TCT system entry or the TCT SE. Slide 33. So we're still in the AOR2 dump and the TCP domain. We do a find previous for this TCT system entry for the W6T1 connection. At displacement hex 18, we see the system network name of the remote system, which happens to be WW26TOR1. Slide 34. We can now take a peek at the TOR1, and since we already know the terminal session ID, we can go directly to the TCT and the TCP domain of this TOR region. Find the greater than TCTE for greater than AAA. Slide 35. The same offsets we've seen before apply here. That is, hex 10 is the TCA address. We could see it's 4.700, and hex 14 is the transaction number in packed decimal format, 288. We can go ahead and diagnose these tasks by using other domains in the dump to see what might be going on. Now we need to move to slide 36, where Susan is going to discuss IPIC.
So moving on to slide 37. I've outlined a couple of things to keep in mind when you're making this configuration. As with our other connection types, you would define a send and receive count. But one thing that you might notice if you're running is that the number of sessions that you get may exceed the send and receive count. There are some administrative sessions that are also used, but these are just to monitor the connection from the, and you cannot use them as the normal user session. Additionally, IPIC was introduced in CICS TS V3R2, and at that time, the functionality included DPL. It was enhanced in V4R1 to include transaction routing, but the functionality is not identical to ISC or MRO. Another thing that you might want to keep in mind, there are a number of products in the KIX family that are implementing IPIC, and you should be careful to verify that the functions that you desire are available in the implemented release. Moving on to slide 38. Here are a couple of other things to keep in mind, particularly if you're configuring multiple connections with the same name. You can only install one IPCon with the same Apple ID and network ID. But you can specify an IPCon with an Apple ID that matches an ISC or MRO net name. Advancing to slide 39. If you do define an IPCon with the same net name as another connection, the Apple ID of the IPCon must be the same as the other connection's net name. And if you do so, most importantly, the IP connection is the preferred connection type. So, moving on to slide 40. When we're looking at diagnosing a waiting task over IPIC, you start as you would with the previous connection type. So in this case, we're in AOR1, and we would issue the CEMT inquire task. This will show us the waiting task is an IS receive in the H type. On slide 41, moving the cursor to that task line and hitting enter, we see the H value, which gives us our connection and session. Moving to slide 42, we can issue CEMT inquire IPCon. And this will show us the Apple ID that we're using, directing us to the remote region. There is no equivalent to inquire net name with IPCon. So moving to slide 43. Here we're looking at the dispatcher domain of our dump in AOR1. And scrolling down, we can see that the resource that we have that's waiting is in IS_receive. We can match this with the resource identifiers, the connection of W6T1, and the session of /AAK. And we can correlate this, or we can see that the transaction that we're looking at is 00275. Moving to slide 44. We see that similar information is also available in the kernel, where we can get the TCA address and the transaction number and the transaction ID. Moving to slide 45. Here we have moved to the IS domain in our dump for AOR1. And this gives us the specifics of our IP connection. For AOR1's dump, we have a task number from our previous inquiries, which was 00275. And if we search for that with the C character appended at the end, we can find the identified task number in the IS session block, or ISFB. We find this information with the task number at offset 78. Advancing to slide 46. Within the same control block that we're looking at, where our task ID number of 00275 is at offset 78, we can find the correlation ID at offset 70. Now, this correlation ID is going to be the same for the life of the task, and it's going to be on the same on both sides of our connection. So we should be able to find this correlation ID in both of our dumps in an ISSD. In this case, ours is a little common, but hopefully you'll have one that's not quite so common as 00000000888. So moving on to slide 47. If you do not already know the remote region that you're going to be looking at, then you can move from the ISSB, where we were just looking, and find ISCB previous. This will show you the IS control block, which will give you the connection name at offset 10, as well as the network ID at offset 18, and the Apple ID at offset 20. Moving to slide 48. Using that information of the connection name, network ID, and Apple ID, we have found that the remote region that we're trying to diagnose the task in is TOR1. And here's where we use the correlation ID to figure out the task that we're going to debug. We're again going to look for that correlation ID at offset hex 70. If you have a common one like ours, with the 00000000888, you might want to first move to the section that contains the ISSBs by searching for ISSB period before you start your search for the correlation ID. But once you've found the correlation ID at offset 70 of an ISSB, that's the task that you would want to debug in the TOR1 region. So moving to slide 49. I'll turn things back over to Wayne with some info on some more complex scenarios.
Thank you. We'll now talk about a slightly more complicated situation where one task uses more than one session. Slide 50. In the previous examples, we were always looking at just one task between two regions. But a task in a region could request information or resources from more than one other region. For instance, it might need to access temp storage data from that's owned by one region and a vSAM file owned in another, or a database owned by yet another. A new session is allocated to the task each time a request is made to a new region. So you may need to determine all of the connections that are being used by one task. Slide 51. There are two ways to do that. Obviously, you could continue to use the search method that we've been looking at so far. So you could go into the TCP and IS domains and do those searches. But there's also a second way that you can do that, and that's to follow the ownership change through the session control blocks, the TCTTEs or ISSBs. Slide 52. Ownership chains assure that you can find the session or surrogate that is involved in all the sessions that are involved as well. Those TCTTEs are anchored in the TCA in the AP domain. Slide 53. For APPC and MRO, the terminal or its surrogate, the TCTTE ownership chain, is anchored in the TCA at field TCA-TC-UCN. Note that the data areas says that it is offset 1 Baker 4, but this is from the beginning of the user TCA, which is only hex 100 bytes long. So in an IPCS formatted dump, it's actually at offset Baker 4 in the system TCA. This chain runs through the TCTTEs in field TCTTE-UCN. These TCTTEs are in a pushdown stack from the TCA. In other words, if a second TCTTE is allocated to a task, then the TCA will be changed to point to the new TCTTE, and the new TCTTE will point to the previous one that was already there. Slide 54. For example, in this case, a new task arrived into the region across MRO session less than AAU. The task was started from a terminal, so a surrogate TCTTE needed to be created and added to the chain. After that, the program made a request to a remote region, so the session TCTTE-AAC was allocated to send the new request onto the new region. At each step, the stack pushed down the previous TCTTE. So now, the TCA for task number 138 points to the most recent TCTTE, and the ownership chain runs back through the first one forward until you get to the zero pointers at the end of the chain. Slide 55. IPIC does not participate in this same ownership chain. They're in different areas of CICS and don't cross over. Also, it is not; these are not reliably anchored from TCA. So you can start at the beginning. You cannot start at the beginning and run your way all the way through the chain, but you can do the finds in the IS section for the ISSBs with the same task information that we have seen before, and then you can make sure you haven't missed anything by running through the ISSB facility forward chain at currently at offset 1 Charlie to make sure that everything is there. And while as I said, there's no reliable anchor point, I have noticed in my tests that the beginning chain is often pointed to within the common control communication area, and it's usually at offset 68. If it doesn't hold a valid pointer, don't worry about it too much. It's not a problem. But if it is a current pointer, then it can give you a starting point to run your chain through the ISSBs. Slide 56. Another possibility of having to deal with multiple steps is if you have regions that are daisy chained. Slide 57. So basically what a daisy chain is where one region goes to the next region, which goes to another region, and possibly on to more than that. In this case, you follow the same steps outlined earlier, but you may simply have to repeat the process several times as you go through those regions. Slide 58. So don't give up. Keep going through each region until you come to a task that is not waiting on yet another region. Then see why that task hasn't responded, allowing the chain of waits through all the previous regions to be completed. And we'll turn the time now back over to Sue to summarize, so if we could move to slide 59.
Thank you, Wayne. Moving on to slide 60. Well, I hope you've seen that when multiple regions are involved, we get more accomplished and can distribute more work, but debugging is a little more complex. So moving on to slide 61. With each communication type, we hope we've shown that there are ways to trace connections from our waiting task back to a target region and a task to get a view of what the entire transaction is doing across the multiple regions. On slide 62, we've included some links that you might find useful in your debugging. And finally, on slide 63, once you have found the task that needs debugging after you've followed all the waiting tasks, this is a link to a presentation from the past that might help you out. So once you've found the target task, this presentation can help you to determine what's going on with it and why other tasks might be waiting. And although it's written specifically for MRO, it's really applicable to all of our connection types. So at this point, I'd like to turn the presentation back over to Joseph.
Thank you, Wayne, Tom, and Sue, for a wonderful presentation. At this point in time, Audra, we would like to open the line for questions.
At this time, there are no questions.
Thank you, Audra. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.